Book of Isaiah, Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 7. Once again, I appreciate Lance leading singing for us. I've tried to tell people song leading is a little bit of an art, all right? But it takes, one of the things it takes and requires is confidence. Because if you're not careful, you're over there and you find yourself waiting on the pianist, and the pianist is waiting on you. And it's like, you know, and the best way to do it, I said, just go, all right? Just go to it and let her rip. And then it's hard on the pianist if they've never really been with that person leading singing. The ones like, I can play with my brother leading singing. I'm used to the way he does things. Ms. Noble's more used to the way he does things. So things work smoother when it's that way. But I'm grateful for folks that'll volunteer and jump in and help out. And that is a good thing. All right, you're there in Isaiah chapter 7. Now tonight, I want to try to preach a how-to message. Sometimes we preachers, and I'm conscious of this, and I guess I've become more conscious of it in later years, we're guilty of telling you, do this. And I wonder how many people are sitting in the auditorium and in congregation saying, I'd like to, but would you tell me how? Tell me how to do that, all right? So we're going to try to do that tonight, all right? You know, I guess it came to mind, we had a fellow preaching on bitterness not too awful long ago, and I thought, good message, please don't look at this as a condemnation of, it's not. But I thought, you know, I wonder how many people are there going, how do I fight bitterness? It's one thing to say, don't get bitter. But it's another thing to figure out how to keep from it. How to keep from it. So tonight, I want to preach to you a how-to message. And I teach homiletics, probably going to violate everything I teach tonight, all right? But try to tell fellows to do. But here we go, all right? Just want you to look at one verse. Would you look at verse 16? This is the great chapter in the book of Isaiah where Isaiah prophesies the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in verse 16, we find these words, for before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Now I want you to notice that little phrase, to refuse the evil. To refuse the evil. Saying no to evil. How in the world, how do we do that? How do we do it? Say, well, you just say no. Well, I like that. But sometimes you need a little more help than that, all right? I found out that I think the first word every child learns, we'd like to think, mama, no, dad, no. The first word they learn is no. It seems that way. You know, they learn to say it. The trouble is, it's usually said at the wrong time and for the wrong reason. You know, they mess it up. They know that word, but they don't use it at the right time, don't use it in the right way. I think it's important to learn to use that word correctly. As a matter of fact, I don't think you can overemphasize how important it is to correctly use the word no in life. I believe that greatness, honor, virtue, and fame can be the result if we had learned to use that word no at the proper time. At the proper time. Our scripture talks about choosing the good, knowing the difference between good and evil, then to have the willpower to refuse evil. That's always been the mark of great characters in the Bible. They knew how to refuse evil. They knew how to turn it down. It tells us a lot about somebody who knows how to say no. Because what a person refuses is often just as informative and helpful to us to understand that individual is what he will accept. All right, it's what he will refuse. And you take a look at all the great characters through the Bible, they knew how to refuse the evil. I preach a message on Samson, and the title of it is The Man Who Wouldn't Say No. That's where Samson got in so much trouble. He wouldn't say no. You know, if Delilah would have just asked him when she asked, where's your great strength lie, if he'd have said, I ain't going to tell you. Now, shut up, woman. He said, well, that's rude, but he'd have sure been better off, wouldn't he? But he wouldn't say no. He would not say no. And many instances in there in his life, he just wouldn't say no to sin, all right? Now, you and I, you can guarantee it. As long as we live, we're going to be faced with evil. We're going to be faced with it. We're going to have that opportunity to say yes or to say no to it, all right? The people that give in and say yes and allow evil to have sway in their lives, guarantee you they're not going to rejoice over that decision. They're not going to look back and say, sure, I'm glad I did that. No. And let me say this, you don't have to say yes. You can refuse evil. Now, I want to take four examples from the Word of God of those who said no to evil. Three men and one lady that said no to evil. And if we'll take and follow that example, it'll help us to refuse evil. All right? It'll just help us to do it. The first one's in the book of Daniel. So if you will look in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1, the great prophet Daniel. Man, there's so much preaching out of Daniel that you could be there for a while. And I've preached out of the book many times, but I just want to look at one verse tonight. There in Daniel chapter 1, and I want you to see this. If we'll do what he did, it will help us when we're facing that choice of what we're going to do about evil. Daniel chapter 1, look at verse 8. Verse 8, very well-known verse, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He said, okay, now, preacher, what did he do when he purposed in his heart? Here's what he did. He did what you and I need to do if we're going to learn to refuse evil. First of all, I think we need to set a higher standard for ourselves. We just need to set a higher standard for ourselves. In math, we do a lot with the least common denominator. A lot. But in our life, we ought not to set it on the least common denominator, all right? We ought to set a lot higher standard for ourselves. That's exactly what Daniel did here. That's exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They set a higher standard. Now, the world is filled with people that are sadly lacking in any kind of standard of conduct for life. They have no standard of conduct, all right? None whatsoever. They just don't. They're folks that just have no standard. Whatever happens, whatever comes along, we'll do it. We'll do it. As a kid, I was ignorant just like every kid is. We did dumb things. But look, you're not a kid anymore. There's a few of you that didn't hit your kids. That's why God gave you parents, all right? Because to keep you from making those dumb decisions that you make. And they're there to help you along the way. Look, we need to set a higher standard. We need to decide, my standard's not going to be no standard. No standard means, hey, I'll try anything once. Now, I've said that along the line maybe with food. But I don't really mean it. Because there's some stuff I'm not trying. You say, it's good. Enjoy it. I will not fight you over your portion. Some people have no standard. Anything comes along. That's why you got people, because they had no standard. You find people that have lived a pretty good life, seem to be good individuals, and they die because they decide one time, I'm going to try that particular whatever dope it is. Gonna do it. Gonna do that. The great epidemic we have now with that one particular thing that I can't remember right the second, fentanyl. That fentanyl, we got this great epidemic of fentanyl use. Why do you use it? We don't set a good standard. Well, I just need some help. Well, set your standard where you get your help a little bit bigger than that. Don't go for just anything. But there's a host of folks in the world today that have no standard whatsoever. Anything that comes along, I'll do that. Then there's some that have low standards. Low standard. Hey, there's some things. I'll not stoop to that. I will live a little bit above that. I won't give in to that. But that standard is very low. It's easy to keep. All right? We oftentimes, I think, Christians do that. They set a low standard, but you can always find somebody that has no standard, and you can always then say, I'm better than he is. I won't do what? I may not be right. I may do something, but I won't do that. Oh, good, you got very low standards. I might do a little drinking, a little carousing around. I might do a little bit, gambling, but I ain't going to kill nobody. Well, good for you. What a high standard. Your standard is I'm not killing anybody. Now, I'll maim them, but I won't kill them, all right? Hey, that's a pretty low standard, don't you agree? Wouldn't you get a pretty low standard? Hey, I'll come to church. I'll come to church, but I ain't giving. Now, I'm not going to do that. There ain't going to be no tithing. I'll be at church, so at least some of the time. Some of the time. I usually, when I'm visiting, if I've talked to somebody I've never met before, I'll usually ask them, well, hey, where do you go to church? And I'll pause just for a little second. And as they're about to answer, I'll say, regularly. And they go, well. I like to do that. You say, preacher, why? Because I'm cruel, all right? And I don't mind doing that kind of thing and make a person stop and think. You know, it's not where do you go? Well, I go to such and such. Well, when was the last time you were there? Well, let me think. Hey, they don't go regular. They go occasionally. One occasion's coming up. They'll be in church around Christmas. I say, I went to church around Christmas. Then they'll go at Easter. If you ask them, you go to church? Oh, yeah, I go to church. Hey, what do you say? I'm saying the standard's very low. Very low standard. You with me? All right, very low. Now, some people have shifting standards. Just whatever seems to suit them at that particular moment. That's their standard. And it'll go back and forth. Circumstances will dictate their standard. Well, hey, it's real tough to say no right now. So I'll go along to get along. Okay, you got shifting standards. Hey, my standard is one thing when I'm with this group of people, but when I'm with this other group of people, my standard is something else. Hey, you got shifting standards, all right? And can I say this to you, the thought that, well, everybody's doing it, that's not a standard. That's not a standard. That's it. Hey, look, you want to be able to succeed, you want to be able to say no to evil, set yourself a high standard. Set yourself a high standard. I'm going to live up to that, not to this. I want to live to that. Well, preacher, I tried that, but I have trouble. Keep shooting. Keep after it. Don't quit. Don't give up because you tried and you failed. Stay with it. I don't remember the stories told of Thomas Alva Edison, the fellow who invented the light bulb years ago. And man, I heard he tried hundreds of things to make that little filament in the light bulb that we used to use, all right? I know we're using a different thing now, but in that light bulb that we used to use, that little filament there, he kept trying, and somebody would ask him, how you doing? He said, I'm doing pretty good. I found a lot of things that don't work. But I don't know about you, but I'm glad he didn't quit. I'm glad he didn't stop. I'm glad he stayed after it, because all through these years, I've enjoyed going on flipping the switch and let there be light. He stayed after it. Hey, you said, well, I had those standards. I set those standards, but I didn't meet them. Keep trying. Keep trying. Hey, the idea is I want to say no to evil. How am I going to do that? Number one, you set a high standard. Set a higher standard. Number two, go with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, all right? Hebrews chapter 11. There's something else you can do to help yourself. Look, we need a challenge. We like to talk about athletes, and boy, we talk about, oh, they set that, you know, the standard, the bar high, and they worked at it, and man, they failed, but they finally made it, you know. We look up to them, but in our own life, we say, I don't want to do that. But we ought to. Set that higher standard. You're there in Hebrews chapter 11, looking, if you will, in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now stay with me. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, notice, as seeing him who is invisible. Seeing him. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. If you want to say no to evil, not only set a higher standard, but you need to see a holy Savior. You need to see that holy Savior. Folks, listen, we're saved. You're saved. You're saved because there was one who came to this earth, took upon himself the form of a man, and lived a life without sin. Lived a life without sin. So many people give themselves to evil because they see no further than right here, right now. Don't look past this. Don't look past this. It's like talking to a child. We take kids in school to the 100 Club. And we'll do that ever so often. Kids that have made 100, and they'll go to the 100 Club. And usually their parents won't give them a $20 bill, but let's say they gave them a $10 bill. And so they gave them that $10 bill. And I'm amazed at how many of those kids want to do everything they can to see to it there's none to take home. I need to spend every dime of it. You know, here it is. Whatever it is, I want to spend every bit. We used to go to CC's Pizza. Don't ask me why. I don't know. Stuff was inedible, so wonder it didn't kill me. But that's probably the reason I have stents in my heart right now, all right? Because I haven't eaten that kind of junk. But we would take those kids to CC's Pizza, and not only is there pizza, but glory to God, there's those machines that you can feed money in and get something out of it that's worth absolutely nothing. But you can take it home. Look what I got. You know, maybe it's got that little crane deal that you position, you know, you reel it over here and reel it over there, drop it and pick it up. And those kids, they want to spend it. Can I go to the arcade? Well, hey, your parents gave you money to eat lunch. Did it ever occur to you? You might impress them by going home and saying, look, here's $5. What's that? Well, I didn't need all that money. But kids, it's right here, right now. But here's a problem. There's plenty of adults live life that way. We don't see anything past right here and right now. They see no one but the same crowd. They see the world's crowd. And that world's crowd that's hounded them all through life. Well, I want to tell you this. We need to see him who's invisible. We need to see that holy Savior, the one who gave himself for us. Moses, the Bible said, forsook Egypt. Notice, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. If I could just get a glimpse of the Lord. Just get a glimpse of him. If I could just see him. Oh, man, that one that's high and lifted up. Isaiah saw him. And boy, it had an effect upon him. He saw the Lord. Look, if we just get a glimpse of him, you say, preacher, you know we're not going to see God. You can see him in the pages of this book. If you'll open it up, you'll see him. You'll see him pictured. You'll see him portrayed. You'll get a good look at him. Boy, if we do that and realize, hey, I'm saved and I need to set a higher standard. And when I'm tempted to do wrong, I need to take a look at that one that gave himself for me. I need to see what my sin did to him. Need to get a picture of that. It's our sin that put those stripes on his back. It's our sin that planted that crown of thorns on his head. It's our sin that caused him to be slapped and his beard to be plucked out. It's our sin that caused him to have himself nailed to that cross. We need to see that holy Savior dying in our place. Why? To help us. To help us say no to evil. Hey, look what it did to Jesus Christ. Our sin. Well, if we could just set that higher standard. Set that higher standard. If we could just get in life where we saw the Lord. Moses did. He had a choice. Look, Moses was living what in that day could have been called the good life. You realize that. You didn't have a better place to live in Egypt than in the Pharaoh's palace. The child of Pharaoh's daughter. You didn't have a better life, okay? That was as good as it got. But Moses made a choice. Moses made a choice. Why? He endured as seeing him who's invisible. That's how. You see him. You see him. Remember when you were a kid and you were about to do something, you knew if you got caught, you'd get in trouble? So what do? We looked around, and then we did it. Nobody was looking. Today, we break the speed. We drive through a stop sign, drive through a red light. No policeman. We look. Hey, before you decide and you choose an evil, take the look before. Take the look. Take a look at your Savior. See him. See him. It'll help you. It will help you. Go with me to Genesis chapter 39. We've got the example of Daniel, who set a higher standard for himself. Said, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. We've got the example of Moses that saw him who's invisible and decided, I will not do what the Pharaoh does. I'd rather be with God's people. He made that choice because he saw him who's invisible. Here's another great individual in the Word of God, Joseph. And Joseph, in Genesis chapter 39, verse 9, here's his testimony, here's his words when he was confronted with a choice to do evil. He said, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this? I want you to notice he does not say, how then can I do this wickedness? He says, how again can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Sin against God. Look, you say, what do we need to do? You need to see the heinousness of sin. You need to see how wickedly sinful sin is. The problem is most people in our day have a very cavalier attitude about sin. Oh, well, I did it. In truth, most Christians, I don't think, see the awfulness of sin. They don't see it. If we tell a lie, oh, it's only a little white lie. I'm not exactly sure what a white lie is. But we look at things that way. We have a cavalier attitude about our sin. Now, if it's his, it's wicked. Great wickedness. But, man, I just made a mistake. And we don't see sin as it really is. We just look at it, all right? Can I say this to you? Sin's not something to laugh about. It's not something to laugh about. It's really not the proper subject for jokes, lighthearted remarks. It's not. Sin ought to be seen as it truly is, as heinous sin. How bad is it? It's as bad as you can think it is. That's exactly what it is. Not anything easy, not anything small about it. What you might call a small sin is just sin. All right? There's no such thing. My dad, when he was on the witness stand, and we were being, as a church, being attacked and trying to be taxed, especially by Birdville Independent School District for school taxes on the property where the school sits, Dad was on the witness stand, and a lawyer there talking to him said, "Now, preacher, you think that if you just go out there in any little prayer and that makes it religious and exemption?" My dad said, "There's no such thing as a little prayer." Amen. There's not. But we think there's little sins. Little sin. No, there's not. There's not. All sin committed by a Christian is a reflection on his God. You need to realize that. All sin as a Christian is a reflection on your God. Hey, he's not great enough to keep me from doing this. Or he's not big enough that I would want to obey him. He's not big enough that I'd not want to disappoint him. Don't want to do it. Hey, when I was a kid, I obeyed my mom and dad because I knew what would happen if I didn't. Just plain and simple. But when I grew up, there came a point in life where I did not want to disobey them. I did not want to do something in life that would bring a reflection on them as a parent. You say, why? Because I love them. Can I say this to you as a child of God? You ought to see the heinousness of sin and love your Savior enough to say, everything I do, realize your sin's a sin against God. That's what Joseph said. He didn't say, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against your husband? He didn't do that. He said, how can I sin against God? We need to realize that all sin, it's against God. It's against God. Now, it may be against your own body. Maybe against your own body. You take stuff in that will devastate you physically. That you don't have to have. You can live without it. Live without it for years. You say, well, it's just me I'm hurting. You wait a minute. That sin's against your God. It's against your God. Maybe against your own body, but against the Lord too. There's more important and greater things than my personal pleasure. There's more important and greater things for you than your personal pleasure. There's just more important things than that. The Bible said if you live for pleasure, you're dead while you live. You're dead while you live. A man, world's filled with people, that's what they live for. I live for pleasure. I live for my own pleasure. I'm do my own thing. The sad thing is there's a ton of people profess Christ, and they're the same way. Why? They don't see the heinousness of sin. They don't see it the way Joseph saw it. They don't see it. They don't say, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? They say, it'll be all right. It's just one time. Don't see the heinousness of sin. You with me? Take your Bible to the book of Esther, would you? Esther chapter 1. Esther chapter 1. Hey, look, trying to help you to get through this old life and be able to say no to evil. Say no to evil. One, you need to set that higher standard, all right? It needs to be set up high, and that's what you ought to continually shoot at, all right? Continually shoot at. While you're turning to Esther, in the dog racing world, that dog races, he chases that rabbit. If that dog ever catches that rabbit, he will not run anymore. Can I say this to you? If you set the bar high enough, you say, well, I never quite reach it. It's all right. Sure helped you because you keep shooting that high. I'm trying my best to reach that standard. Set a high standard. Hey, you see him who's invisible. You see the Lord. You see the heinousness of your own sin. Then you're there in Esther chapter 1. Look at verse 10. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, that means he's drunk, okay? In case you have a hard time understanding English. He commanded Mehum, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abkatha, Zethar, and Carcass. I don't know why he didn't just talk to Bob and Sam and Jake, all right? But he commanded the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the royal crown, with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. What in the world possessed this crazy woman to think she could not do what the king said to do? Now, folks, I'll tell you, in those days, you didn't do what the king said, you risk your life. You risk your life. It didn't matter who you were. We're not talking about the president. We're not talking about a king now like Prince Charles, I guess now King Charles in England, you know, or somewhere else in this world. The king don't have that much power, but in that day he had absolute power. Absolute power. Here he is, he's drunk. Always a bad sign. And he gets this great idea. I'm going to parade my wife out here so everybody can see her great beauty. He sent for her. He didn't go. He sent seven guys. She must have been one tough woman, you know. Took seven men to go after her. They go to bring her, and she said, uh-uh. I'm not going. Hey, can I say this to you? There's something better than the applause of men. Something better than the applause of men. They're more important and greater things than personal pleasure. You said, what did Queen Vashti? I believe she sought heaven's sanction, not man's okay. She said, I'm the queen, and he's the king, but I'm not going to do what he says. Why? Because there's something more important than these people being fascinated and cheering my beauty. There's something more important. There's greater things than personal pleasure. There's greater things than the applause of men. Oh, my soul, that we might see a generation of God's people, Christians, that would rise up and seek the approval of God on their actions. That I might come and say, Lord, I want to do what pleases you, not what pleases somebody else. It's usually we go wrong and we get into evil because we're led to it by somebody else. Pressure from other people. Pressure from the crowd. That desire for acceptance. That fear that, well, if I don't do it, the boss is going to look down on me. Man, there's something more important than his pleasure. That is that we look and consider, Lord, is it okay with you? Does it satisfy you? I believe Vashti was more concerned with honor and virtue than she was the approval of the lusting eyes of a bunch of drunk men. So she decided, uh-uh, not going to do it. She was willing to say no to that evil. She was willing to say no to it. Why? Because she sought heaven's sanction. Well, how much time do we spend thinking, what's God going to think of this if I do it? What's he going to think? How's he going to feel about this? How's it going to make him look if I do this? Am I just doing it because I fear people's opinions? Am I just doing it because, oh, this will elevate my eyes? In today's world, we almost have to say, this will get me more followers on TikTok, X, whatever. I don't even know what all that junk's called, all right? But why in the world would we want that? It's just the approval of men. Man, how we need to look up. We need to look up above the crowd in order to be, Lord, will this please you? Is this going to please you? Is what I'm being tempted to do, if I give in, is it going to please you or not? Boy, that needs to be considered. You want to know, how am I going to say no to evil? Four things you can do. Four things, all right? Four things. We just do those four things. Set a higher standard in your life. Set a higher standard. Have you ever told your kids, now we don't do that kind of stuff? Well, when did you tell yourself that? We don't do that kind of stuff. Why? Because I set a standard up here. I don't go those places. Why? I set a standard. Set a standard. I'm going to shoot for that higher standard. Hey, I don't want a shifting standard. Y'all don't want a shifting standard. When you go down here to the gas station and pay a ridiculous price for a gallon of gas, you want a gallon of gas. So I wonder how much I'm going to get for this. I ought to be close to a gallon. Don't worry about it. Well, I'm worried. I don't know about y'all, but I won't ever drop. I used to, when I pumped gas in, when I cut it off, I'd turn the thing up and let it drain out in there, you know. I'm tempted to hold the hose up and see if that one any more would drain in. Won't at all. Hey, you and I, we said that we'll take a low standard for ourselves. Well, we don't. Hey, set that higher standard. Don't be able to say no to evil. Set that higher standard in your life. Just put it up there. Then see the Holy Savior, the one that saved you. Get a glimpse of him every now and then. Just take the time to see him. See what he did for you. See what he went through to pay your sin debt. Take a look at him. Then really see how bad sin is. Don't have that attitude. It's a big deal. It is a big deal. See the heinousness of sin. And then, the fourth thing. Why don't you decide to seek heaven's sanction? Seek God's approval on what you do. Can I be honest with you? It doesn't matter what I think about what you do. It's what God thinks about it. What God thinks about it. Hey, it doesn't matter what your family thinks about it. What God thinks. What God thinks. We need to seek his approval. We need to make sure it's okay with him. I remember growing up as a kid, somebody wanted me to go somewhere, I said, I need to ask my dad if it's all right. I had to check with him. I had to seek their approval. Dad's in heaven. It's not dad's approval I need, it's God's. It's God's. I need to talk to him. Make sure it's okay with you, Lord. Just consider those things. You want to help. You want to combat evil. You want to be able to stand against evil. You want to be able to conquer that evil. Then you try those four things. Not one of them, all four of them. Give them all four the test before you give in, all right? Hey, if you spend a long time murmuring about it and thinking about it, the temptation will be past and it'll help you, all right? Just go ahead. Step out. You don't have to give in. You don't have to say yes. Would you bow your heads tonight? Hey, listen, are you dealing with problems? Struggling maybe with something about sin, and maybe you got friends that want to suck you down. Hey, what are you going to do? How are you going to decide? Well, preacher, I don't know what to do. Well, I tried to help you tonight. I tried to give you four things you can do. They would make a difference for you. They would help you. Will you decide to do it? Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, help us to take this message. Maybe somebody needs it right now. But Lord, there's a good chance It's not needed right now, but it will be, because we will be confronted with evil at some time in the future. Lord, would you help us to take those four things and file them away and keep them, so when the need arises, we'll be ready to consider them. We'd be able to turn it down. We'd be able to do as Moses did, by faith. By faith. We'd be able to do as Daniel did, purposing in his heart. We'd be able to do as Joseph did when he said, I cannot sin against God. We'd be able to do as Vashti did when she said, it doesn't matter what men think. It matters what's honorable, what speaks of virtue. It matters what God thinks. Lord, would you help us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?